Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. It's my favorite time of the week. It's an opportunity for me to share vital health information with you so that you can utilize it on your own behalf and to help friends and family. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm here to answer your questions. Plus, we got a lot of stuff to go over because it was a very busy week on the health front. Lots of stories to share with you. And we're going to get to those stories in just a moment, plus your phone calls. But the first thing I want to focus on is, does the American Heart Association want to kill you? Well, it sounds like hyperbole. I mean, why would the American Heart Association, a benevolent organization that is trying to stem the tide of cardiovascular disease in this country, why would they deliberately be trying to induce cardiovascular disease, to increase your likelihood of dying of cardiovascular disease? Well, maybe inadvertently they're doing this, and I'm going to come back to that theme in just a moment, but a little background. Back when I was in medical school, oh, way, way back in the 20th century, remember the 20th century? Quite a long time ago. Well, I was a medical student in the 1980s, and in the 1980s, the notion that saturated fat was bad for you really took hold. So we started emphasizing very low-fat diets and diets low in cholesterol and saturated fat. This was called the heart health concept, the cholesterol hypothesis, the saturated fat theory. This theory took hold in the 1970s, 1980s. By the time I got to medical school, it was very, very well established. And I remember I had a professor of cardiology. He was an interesting guy. He was great because he used to sit down with us students and discuss things after lectures. He used to have lunch with us and tell us about the impact of diet on cardiovascular disease. And he was a big proponent of polyunsaturated fats. Some of you may be old enough to remember the Imperial Margarine ads. Put a crown on your head. You know, people would be sitting at the dinner table and they'd slather some imperial margarine on their corn. And all of a sudden, this regal crown would appear on their heads because they were doing something good. They were doing something heart healthy. And the theory was that replacing saturated fats, those bad fats from bacon grease and steak and chicken skin and butter, replacing those with healthy polyunsaturated fats. You know, you heard the mantra, eat more polyunsaturated fats, avoid saturated fats. That was going to help you. And I remember that this professor, he actually told us that he had a habit, and he thought this was good for him, of taking a shot glass of Mazola corn oil every morning. He would dutifully chug down corn oil that was rich in omega-6 polyunsaturated fats every morning because he thought, well, you know, this is good for you. This is healthy. And he, of course, avoided all butter, all high-fat dairy, drank just skim milk, dutifully took the skin off his chicken, trimmed the fat from his beef or didn't have any at all. And this was thought to be the path towards cardiovascular salvation. Well, this is a theory that has taken a long time to die, but I hope that what I'm about to share with you will provide you with the information that is going to drive a stake in the heart of the polyunsaturated fat is healthy theory. All right? Because a recent study, this just came out in the British Medical Journal, and the title is Use of Dietary Linoleic Acid for Secondary Prevention of Coronary Heart Disease and Death. It's an updated meta-analysis of a study done a long time ago, because sometimes what you have to do is go back to the old data and reanalyze it. So dietary linoleic acid, what's that? Well, that's omega-6 fatty acids that you get from vegetable oils. And it was thought, the theory was, that if you increased your intake of polyunsaturated vegetable oil in lieu of saturated fat, in other words, you reduce your, you get rid of butter, and you make sure you use plenty of, quote, healthy vegetable oil from safflower or sunflower, that, or alternatively, even corn oil. These provide lots of polyunsaturated omega-6 oils, that this actually would help to reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease. And what they found was pretty disconcerting. They discovered that it had precisely the opposite effect. Advice to substitute polyunsaturated fats for saturated fats, they say, is a key component of worldwide dietary guidelines for coronary heart disease risk reduction. However, clinical benefits of the most abundant polyunsaturated fatty acid, omega-6 linoleic acid, have not been established. They say in this study, substituting dietary linoleic acid in place of saturated fats, get this, folks, increased the rates of death from all causes, coronary heart disease and cardiovascular disease. So not just heart disease, but death from all causes. And there was no evidence of cardiovascular benefit. They say these findings could have important implications for worldwide dietary advice to substitute omega-6 linoleic acid or polyunsaturated fats in general for saturated fats. You think? You would think that this would make a big splash, because this study came out at the end of 2013, last year. So what's going on with this? Increasing omega-6 linoleic acid from safflower oil, they say it actually reduces cholesterol, and that seems like a good idea. But these reductions were not associated with a reduction in the risk of death, which I think you would all agree is the most important endpoint, right? Your cholesterol's lower, but if you die faster, that's not necessarily good. So what's going on? They believe, and this is something we've been talking about, continuous theme here on Intelligent Medicine, is that omega-6 fatty acids increase oxidized lipids in the body. And these are big culprits in cardiovascular risk. Also, they may increase inflammation at the lining of the arteries. And what's important is the ratio between omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. In fact, this is something we now measure in patients at the Hoffman Center. And frequently, we'll see even patients taking fish oil pills because they've got so much omega-6 in their diet. Where does it come from? It comes from salad dressing. It comes from chips, all those healthy chips that you see at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. Those are loaded with safflower oil, sunflower oil, soy bean oil. These are rich in omega-6 fatty acids. And the omega-6 fatty acids unbalance the ratio with the omega-3 and increase the risk, so that even if you're taking fish oil or having some, say, omega-3-rich salmon, your ratio isn't good. And that gets you into trouble. So they conclude that, you know, as I said, substituting omega-6 linoleic acid for saturated fat did not provide the intended benefits, but ended up killing you. Now, why do I say, rather histrionically, that the American Heart Association is trying to kill you? Well, after I read this article, I turned to the American Heart Association webpage, and I looked up their recommendations on diet. And this is an organization that is the most, you know, I think you would agree, the most authoritative organization about heart health in the country. They represent the establishment view on what to do. They tell you what medications to take, whether to have a stent or whether to have bypass surgery. But also, they're interested in prevention. They talk about diet and nutrition. And in fact, they try to make it simple with, like, simple little cartoon figures, recipes, diet recommendations. They make it user-friendly. And here's what they say. Eating foods that contain saturated fats raise the level of cholesterol in your blood, and high levels of blood cholesterol increase your risk of heart disease and stroke. They're still saying that. And so, as a result of this failed hypothesis, they are actually making people get sicker. They say, what are the alternatives to replace saturated fats in the foods I eat? And here's the recommendation. You should replace foods high in saturated fats with foods high in monounsaturated and or polyunsaturated fats. This means eating foods made with liquid vegetable oil. So, yeah, now you see why I'm saying that the American Heart Association is inadvertently, perhaps, but most definitely undermining your heart health and increasing your risk of dying. They say, here's a little Q&A, are polyunsaturated fats better for me than saturated fats? Yes, is the answer. Polyunsaturated fats can benefit your health. The bad fats, saturated fats, and of course trans fats, that's the artificial margarine-like fats that now are virtually banned, they can negatively affect your health. Oh, finally, okay, recognition that trans fats are bad. Well, but not yet recognition that polyunsaturated fats are just as harmful. Here's a little explanation. Helpful hints from the American Heart Association from their page. Most foods contain a combination of fats. Foods high in polyunsaturated fat include a number of vegetable oils, including soybean oil, corn oil, and safflower oil. And they're saying it's a good idea to have more of those. So, you can easily see why one can infer that the American Heart Association is doing in Americans with outmoded nutritional advice. All right, we'll take your phone calls, find out what's on your mind. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
At Nordic Naturals, we believe that omega oils are essential to an extraordinary life. By correcting the global omega-3 deficiency, each generation can have the opportunity to grow healthy and strong, so you can do more of what you love with those you love. What's essential to us is proven purity and leading freshness. All of our oils surpass strict international standards for purity and freshness. Our oxygen-free processing combined with natural flavoring ensures no fishy smell, taste, or aftertaste. 100% of our fish is wild-caught, sourced in line with the Norwegian Fisheries Management System, and processed with minimal environmental impact. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your What's Essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health food stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals, committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
Sleep with me.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Our number, 888-302-3684. And in just a moment, we're going to talk about, we're going to debunk the notion that too much animal protein is bad for you. You know, that's been in the news lately. But Before we do that, let's talk to Linda, who's calling us from Nutley, New Jersey. How are you doing, Linda?
Hi, doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. I guess you listen to us via WOR, right?
Correct.
Right. So you have to wait till this is now, we're talking to you Saturday from noon to 2, but you'll have to wait till Sunday night to hear yourself on the program.
Okay.
Okay.
The purpose of my phone call is to, I have been diagnosed with osteoporosis. I spoke to you a year ago about this, and I've been taking vitamin D, 4,000 units, calcium citrate, calcium mag, and the bone density test has gotten a little worse this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the reason why I'm calling you is because I'm not going to be taking any of the medications that are requesting that I do because of the side effects and stuff. But I wanted to think about strontium, but I'm not sure how to handle that and how it would affect me. You know, so I wanted your opinion about what to do with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, often I see patients who treat themselves with just the usual nutrients, calcium, magnesium, vitamin D. These are important, but at best, sometimes they just slow the progression of osteoporosis, or, you know, maybe they'll keep it stable. But in order to actually regain bone, I've found that it's necessary to use something more potent like strontium. And strontium comes as strontium citrate. It's available over the counter. Generally, the dosage per pill is about 325 or 340 milligrams per capsule or tablet. And I suggest that you take two at bedtime. And it works really well. The side effects are really minimal. It's amazing because there's so many people who have problems with the osteoporosis drugs. They cause heartburn and gastric irritation. And there are some serious side effects. In fact, sometimes you can look now on TV and you can see lawyers trolling for lawsuits. They want people to come to them who've taken osteoporosis medications and have suffered unusual types of bone fractures. So really, I think we're seeing a lot of problems with the conventional medications. I mean, sometimes you have to resort to them and, you know, you have to watch for side effects. And you really have to use them. But the vast majority of my patients improve when they take not just strontium, but also we like to encourage vitamin K, vitamin K2 in particular. The dosage for that is 90 micrograms, usually twice daily. And also there's a product called Austera. Now, this product is not available over the counter. It's only available via nutritionally oriented physicians like myself. You can find it on our website at drhoffman.com. It's a potent extract of hops. And hops has an anti-inflammatory effect. And to some extent, osteoporosis, like osteoarthritis, is an inflammatory disorder. So by using all these things in conjunction, not just calcium, vitamin D. I mean, we have a nice osteoporosis supplement called OsteoSupport. And it's got, you know, the usual things. It's got bioavailable calcium and magnesium. It has some vitamin K. It has biotin and some silica and Ipraflavone. And these and other ingredients help forestall bone loss, but to really get good results, and the results I'm seeing are fabulous with strontium. Strontium is an amazing bone-enhancing agent, and I think the wonder of it is that it's available over the counter. I mean, that's all the more remarkable, because usually things that work in a very strong fashion, the powers that be look at them and say, hey, this is not just a little minor one-a-day multivitamin like a Centrum. This is actually a potent anti-disease agent. So as a result, sometimes they want to hone in on it and consider it a drug. In Europe, it's a drug. It's not available over the counter. Here, we use it as a supplement in a slightly different form, strontium citrate, and it works really well. So the suggestion is, I generally suggest that people do this under some form of medical supervision or work with a nutritionally oriented practitioner, but strontium really can do the trick for you. So I thank you for your call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this 888-302-3684. We're taking phone calls on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
For more Intelligent Medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I can't think of a place I'd rather be than right here behind this very microphone, sharing vital health information with you. This weekend's no exception. We've got lots of stuff on tap. And we now have a call from Marie, who's in Onalaska, Wisconsin. Hi, Marie. How are you?
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call, doctor.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with neuropathy, but I do not have diabetes.
Uh-huh.
And I was prescribed gabapentin.
Right.
I am now taking 3,000 milligrams per day.
Right. Does it make you pretty drowsy?
Well, that's one of the things, but it's not getting the job done.
Right.
And I have terrible burning, especially at night.
Burning of the feet in particular.
Oh, and my legs, and now it's even up into my buttocks and my hips.
Wow. Okay, so you know, with neuropathy, it's basically nerve pain. There are a variety of causes that we can identify, and then there's what's called idiopathic neuropathy, which means we can't figure out why, you just end up having it. And it's thought that some idiopathic neuropathy actually may be due to substandard levels of B12. Many patients, even seemingly with normal B12, respond to B12 injections. Have you ever had B12 shots for this? Marie?
No, I have not had B12 shots.
Okay, because that's worth trying. The other thing is that some mysterious cases of neuropathy improve when you eliminate gluten, because this is really a misdiagnosis sometimes, is that gluten can attack the nervous system. And this is actually the basis of a new, very popular book called Grain Brain by Dr. David Perlmutter. He's an integrative neurologist. And his contention is that gluten may act as a poison to the nervous system. And even short of having full-blown celiac disease, which is identified via biopsy or identified via certain blood tests, some people do better when they eliminate gluten. So that's important. The other thing is, I notice that some patients develop neuropathy even before they have a full-blown diagnosis of diabetes. So many people are not properly diagnosed. They have blood sugar abnormalities that we can uncover with a glucose tolerance test, even when they're not properly diagnosed as having diabetes. And the criteria for diabetes are very loose. They're not very stringent. So they'll say, well, you can go up to a certain level, then we'll diagnose you as having diabetes. Well, you may have blood sugar problems that are attacking your nerves. And by optimizing your diet and taking certain supplements, you can better control your blood sugar. It's also appropriate to take certain supplements. Alpha-lipoic acid is very helpful for neuropathy. And sometimes we give it orally. And in our clinic, we're a little far away from Wisconsin. We're in New York. But there may be holistic doctors somewhere near you. We give intravenous alpha-lipoic acid, which can be helpful for nerve pain, nerve problems. It's also helpful for liver problems. But it's not something that's generally given by standard medical doctors, but nutritionally oriented physicians who give IV therapy know how to administer alpha-lipoic acid via injection. So that can be helpful. Also, when you take it orally, you need to take fairly high doses. So in German studies on neuropathy, they take about 3,000 milligrams of alpha-lipoic acid. Generally, it comes as 3 or 5 or 600 milligrams per capsule. So that might mean taking 5 or 10 capsules a day. And it's worth giving it a try to see if that helps. And if it helps, then you know, it establishes that this is something you can do. The other thing that can be helpful is acetyl-L-carnitine, or ALC. Acetyl-L-carnitine. Not just L-carnitine, but acetyl-L-carnitine. That seems to work better in the nerves. And as a means of pain relief, you can apply capsaicin. Capsaicin is available at most drugstores. It's an extract of hot chili peppers, and it does provide relief for neuropathic pain. Where it seems to work best is in patients who have diabetic neuropathy, or patients who have postherpetic neuropathy, postherpetic neuralgias, pain after shingles attack. You apply it to the skin. It kind of burns at first, but you apply it dutifully like 4 or 5 times a day. And it's as if it's like a fighting fire with fire.
You actually can draw out the pain and the sting of the neuropathy by creating a sort of a backfire, a fire that stops the other fire from engulfing you. It's actually a forest fire fighting technique, as they ignite fires to fight fires. And the capsaicin can be helpful for some patients who suffer this. I mean, if it's on large parts of your body, then a little less likely it's going to help. But if it's just on locally on your feet or toes, my patients find it pretty helpful. So these are some of the things you can do. I would also look at levels of various food intolerances, because if this is an autoimmune thing, it's sometimes triggered by the wrong type of food. If you were a patient, I would analyze that. It's sometimes a little harder to figure that out on your own without appropriate testing. And I would take a full complement of supportive nutrients. All the B vitamins, I think, could be helpful. Also, things like coenzyme Q10 may help the nerves, because the nerves are not firing properly. And instead of sending normal sensations, they're sending pain signals to your brain. And so, there's a place for nutritional support, definitely, in the treatment of neuropathy. And I thank you very much for your call. All right, our number, 888-302-3684. And let me just mention, something that we've talked about on our program, which we've been getting lots of requests for at the Hoffman Center store. Go to drhoffman.com and click on the store, and you'll find a whole bunch of products listed there. And all of a sudden, we're getting a tremendous uptick, a surge in requests for this product. It's called Manuka Cream, and it's distributed exclusively through doctors. I've used it personally, and I had an interesting experience. I bumped my shins. Sometimes you're clumsy, you bump your shins and go, ouch, and no big deal, but it leaves a mark, and then it heals, right? Gradually. Especially if you get a little older and you have poor circulation, it takes a long time for things in your legs to heal. Well, okay, I got a pretty good healing capabilities, and the little scrape healed, but in its place came like rough, flaky skin. And I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on with this? I looked it up. There's a phenomenon called the Knobler's phenomenon. You don't have to remember this, but dermatologists note that sometimes after a trauma, the skin comes back flaky, almost like psoriasis in the place of the injury. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've got this. What the heck am I going to do? So I reached for my little container of Manuka cream, and I've been applying it dutifully for just a few days. And like a miracle, this flaky, ugly, scaly skin melted away, disappeared. There's just a tiny little red mark that's virtually indistinguishable from the surrounding skin. Amazing stuff. Manuka cream, Manuka. Go to drhoffman.com, click on the store, find it, or call the Hoffman Center to order yours, because it's been a long, hard, cold winter. Lots of people suffering from skin problems, and this stuff is great. I use it as an aftershave. After I shave, my skin's a little irritated. Before I go out in the freezing cold and wind to protect my face, I put on a little Manuka cream. Smells good, too. Feels good. And has anti-wrinkling, anti-aging effects. I have an ingredient of vanity here, too. All right, 888-302-3684. That's our number for Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with four key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great. Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. We got a caller, Helen from New Jersey. 888-302-3684 is the way to get through. And how you doing, Helen?
Fine, thank you. I was just looking for your station being on, but I see it isn't.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, for you in New Jersey, we got a little situation, temporary situation, in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, where in its wisdom, our station has put the Mets on in spring training during the time of my program.
Okay.
But it's only during spring training, and then on April 15th, I think we'll be back at our usual time, which is from 1 to 2 p.m. on Saturdays. But anyway, here you are. You're on the air. And it's even better because on Sunday night, what you can do is you can tell all your friends and family, like, oh, I'm on the radio. And like, turn on the radio and you'll hear your voice. You'll pose your question. You'll be famous.
Okay. Well, I'm more anxious to take care of my husband who has Parkinson's disease.
Yep.
Together with hypoglycemia. And he's losing weight.
Uh-huh. That's not a good sign in this case. I mean, like, everybody wants to lose weight, but when you start losing weight and you have a neurological disease, almost like you're wasting away. They call this sarcopenia, like a loss of flesh, loss of muscle mass. And that makes you frail and more prone to falls and illnesses, and that's not good.
Yes. He is 6 foot tall and weighs, now he's down to 153 pounds.
That's not good. That's not good because he's lighter than me, and I'm like 5'10". That's not good.
Right.
So he's becoming like virtually skeletal. All right, so here's a deal on Parkinson's. I like to give testosterone to men with Parkinson's. It's actually been shown to somewhat slow the progression of the disease. Now, you're going to say, well, why would I give testosterone to my husband? I really don't need him chasing me around in the bedroom. That's not my concern now. I just want him to be able to walk straight. You know, if he can't walk straight, how is he going to, you know, find me? But it's not about making you sexier. It's actually about helping to preserve strength, muscle mass. It has an anti-inflammatory effect. And to some extent, Parkinson's is an inflammatory condition of the brain. And it also has a mood-enhancing effect because Parkinson's patients tend to be demotivated. They have low levels of dopamine. Dopamine is actually what promotes movement. But it also promotes motivation and to some extent, sex drive. And so you're really Go ahead.
What amount do you suggest taking?
You can't just go out and buy testosterone. You have to get it prescribed by a doctor. So it depends on the individual. And I prescribe natural bioidentical testosterone. But, you know, the doctors, whatever doctor you see, if they're willing to prescribe you on testosterone, you have to go with what their recommendation is. So it's not something you can get in a health food store. So in terms of natural things you can do, I recommend that we get patients on a relatively lower carbohydrate diet because carbs affect the brain adversely. Go out and get the book Grain Brain because I think it's a real good pep talk on getting on the right type of diet for patients with neurological diseases. It's written by a neurologist who treats a lot of Parkinson's patients, and it's his belief that neurodegenerative diseases are accelerated by fluctuations in blood sugar. And you say he has hypoglycemia, so already we know he's got blood sugar problems. So, you know, stabilizing the blood sugar with healthy fats, lots of omega-3 fats, and adequate protein, that's going to make a big difference. So the other key things, adequate vitamin D, fairly high doses for Parkinson's patients, maybe 5 or 10,000 in national units, very high doses of coenzyme Q10, but preferably ubiquinol. I prescribe coenzyme Q10 at about 1,200 or 1,600 milligrams per day. And then we add some ubiquinol because it's even more potent and bioavailable, perhaps 400 milligrams of that, and which is a little bit of a cost concern. It's expensive, but it's really very, very, very beneficial in Parkinson's. We have patients take N-acetylcysteine, alpha-lipoic acid. We give patients intravenous glutathione. That can be helpful. So they have, you know, pretty good protocol that can make a difference in patients with Parkinson's. But testosterone for men really can be helpful. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. When we return, we're going to take a shot at some of the people who are saying protein, that's bad for you. New evidence suggests not the case. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Animal protein is getting a bad rap these days, but here are a couple of studies that suggest au contraire. Headline, diets high in animal protein may help prevent functional decline in elderly individuals. What they did is they looked at older individuals, average age 67, and they divided them into four groups based on their intake of total animal and plant protein. And what they found is that men in the highest quarter of animal protein, the highest quarter of animal protein, had a 39% decreased chance of experiencing high-level functional decline than those in the lowest quartile. So clearly the advantage goes to higher protein diets, and in particular, animal protein seemed to help. And this study just in from Europe, the low-carbohydrate diet and cardiovascular disease risk factors, an epidemiologic study, what they found was that the low-carbohydrate diet was more beneficial than the low-fat diet, both for weight loss, but also for improvement of cardiovascular disease risk factors. So once again, we come back to the American Heart Association, which in an anachronistic, obsolete way is decrying saturated fat, animal protein, and cholesterol, a total misdirection from where we should go. The low-carbohydrate diet seems to improve cardiovascular risk factors and is superior to the very low animal fat diet, plant-based diet for cardiovascular prevention. All right, more information coming up in our second hour. Lots more phone calls, and we're going to look at some of this week's studies. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.